Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text today is from Matthew chapter 20, especially these words. Grant that these sons of mine may sit at your right and at your left in your kingdom. Well, it is Lutheran School Sunday. Many of you are here because your child sang in the service today. But it is evidence that children are very important to us. You don't have to be a mom or a dad or a grandparent to care a lot about children. After all, that's why we have school taxes and public swimming pools and recreation centers. Because children are precious, and we want them to grow up with the best chance of a bright future. We can't blame Mrs. Zebedee very much for wanting the best for her sons. The fishing business with their father wasn't going to take them places like Jesus the Messiah was. So she came to him one day, and she made a special request. She came with her son, she knelt down, and essentially she said, "Jesus, remember my children. Remember them." She said, "Jesus, I ask one thing of you. When you take your throne in your kingdom, let my son sit on each side of you." I think this is a request of a parent, and it acknowledges that children are special. This prayer, for that's what it was, spoken in person, is not much different from what we pray for our children each day. Lord, I love my child so much. Keep them from getting in trouble. Keep them well. Cure their sickness. How many times has this been prayed over the bed of a child when the temperature went over 100 degrees? Help them with their grades, their spelling, or math class. Let them have friends and have a good sense of themselves. When they get older, the prayers might change a bit. Asking God to keep them safe when they're out with their friends on Saturday night, or that they might not stray too far from what's right when they go off to college. We want them to succeed, to hold a job, but most of all, to make a way for themselves. That's not so bad, is it? It's not bad to pray those things for your child. Aren't we supposed to want the best for our children in everything? Sometimes, however, it's a blessing when God doesn't answer such prayers the way that we ask them. And this is especially true for Mrs. Zebedee. She prayed that when Jesus came into his kingdom, her sons would be there at his right and at his left. Jesus answered her. He said, "You don't know what you're asking for. Are you sure your children are tough enough for this? They can't drink this cup that I'm about to drink." And he said it really wasn't for him to grant anyway. Well, Jesus did come into his kingdom. He traveled throughout Palestine, preaching, doing miracles, healing the sick, and forgiving sins. And her sons, James and John, were there beside him along the way. But when the time came for Jesus to enter into that kingdom, there was someone else at his right and his left. Do you remember who it was? Who was there with him? Do you remember? You might not think of that. You might just pass by. But let me read from that chapter and remind you who it was. It was the third hour when they crucified him, and the written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And they crucified two robbers with him, one on his right and one on his left. It was there on Mount Calvary where Jesus entered into his glory. His throne, as you know, was not a chair on earth, but rather a cross of wood, an instrument of torture and death. There Jesus gathered his people, and he reigns over them as a servant king. There in that scene of death was his true coronation. Now, because of that, all who know their sins, the depth of their own sin, see him as more than their king. They see him as their only God and Savior. And over the course of time, more people in history have come to call Jesus as their king than anyone else. Now, certainly Mrs. Zebedee didn't imagine her sons as robbers crucified next to Jesus. They were spared that honor. But they did serve Jesus for the rest of their lives. For from that day on, they went and they preached and they taught the good news of the forgiveness of sins and new life that comes from the cross at Calvary. We do well to pray carefully for our children today. Let them not be crushed by the power and the desire to succeed, to do better than their parents did in the stock market or on the corporate ladder. Let's not pray that they never face hardship that builds perseverance or struggles that build character. But let us do pray that when they run into the hard situations of life, which are sure to come to all the loyal subjects of Jesus Christ, the servant king, let us pray that they have the inner strength to stand firm in the faith in which we have nurtured them. So to the parents who are here today, I'd like to say this. There is something that you can do for your children that is so powerful, so dynamic in shaping their future. But as a pastor, I find so few people are doing it today. It isn't saving for their college in a 509 plan. It isn't putting braces on their teeth for a nice smile. In fact, you're going to like it because it's very much cheaper than all of these things. Believing parents who want your children to continue in the faith, sit down with your children each night. If you can't do that, do it at least once a week, but do it as often as you can. Simply open a Bible or a Bible storybook and simply read it. Then ask your children what it means to them. Say a simple prayer with them. Join together in the Lord's Prayer. If the kids are in St. John school here, or they come to catechism classes on Wednesday night here, read their Learn by Heart with them each day. Don't tell them to go off and memorize something by themselves. You read it with them. Just read it each day. Now, this may cost you something, maybe 5 or 10 minutes out of the 24 hours that you have each day to do this. But it won't cost you a penny. But you can't afford not to do it. This is the way that God says to raise our children. We do not drop them off at a Lutheran day school and expect the teachers to do this for us. We do not expect the Sunday school teacher or the pastor to take over our God-given responsibility of teaching the Christian faith. They are our helpers. They are our assistants. But it wouldn't work anyway. If you've been one of those parents who thought that you could perhaps hire someone else to do what God asked you to do, repent of that idea right now. And your children will stand a good chance of remaining with Jesus all of your life, all of their life as well. Ask God's forgiveness for where you have failed as a Christian parent to teach your child, and we have all failed. God does forgive you, and he wants you to be the most important teacher of the faith that your young one will ever have, and he's given you the ability to do that. And that works for grandparents too, by the way. Our children need our prayers now more than ever. Let us pray like Mrs. Zebedee that they will reign with Christ. But from her request, let us learn that it is better to serve one another than to rule over one another. Jesus said that he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom. So let us give our lives for our children. For the children of this congregation, if we have no children or if our children are raised, let us work together uplifting one another and upholding each other, praying for one another, that we may all teach our children, these beloved people that God has put into our midst. For they are the treasures of our church. They are the treasures of our God. Let us pray. O God, we thank you for the children. We are also thankful that there is mercy in unanswered prayer. Bless our children and grant that they might always remain in saving faith in Jesus and serve you first in everything. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. And the peace that passes all understanding, keep your hearts in Christ Jesus.